This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. And this week, again, there is no Richard Bradbury. So I'll be anchoring the show. That's me, Arif Roos. And with me on the line is Mr. Daniel Fernandez. Say hello.
Hello, Arif. And I think Richard is really sick, going to be out for 2 weeks.
Huh? Yes. He's okay.
So it's been 7 weeks of lockdown restrictions being reduced.
Yep.
People are back to work. Companies are opening up. Businesses are running, showrooms are opening up, car service centers are opening up, and good news, we are starting to see some car launches.
Yep, so there was a few that happened maybe a week or two ago.
About 2 weeks ago, BMW launched the 840, the car right for you.
Yep, it's my favorite car of all time. It's the BMW 840i xDrive M Sport Grand Coupe, if that name wasn't long enough. So this this car costs 968,000 ringgit.
And that's perfect for you.
I wish. But this car will go head-to-head against the Maserati Quattroporte, I believe, the CLS 450 that I really, really loved. So I'd be, you know, willing to give these two a sort of head-to-head because, I don't know, these two are my favorite cars, basically. But then,
And they compete directly with each other.
Yep, and don't forget also the Audi A7, am I right?
Yes.
So basically all of these cars cost between 800 to 950,000 ringgit. A lot of money, but you do get a lot of stuff. So this BMW 840i has a 3-liter turbocharged inline-six engine that produces about 335 horsepower and 500 newton meters of torque. And some people are saying that this BMW is a lot better spec'd than the Audi, which is also a completely built-up unit. So this car comes with adaptive suspension, all-wheel steering, which is really good for a big car like this. Got a BMW sports exhaust as well, laser light, panoramic sunroof, those crystal gear knob shifters thing, even extended leather all across the car, on the dashboard, everywhere. It's a very, very interesting package, don't you think, Daniel?
It is. And at the same time, on the same day, BMW also launched the new BMW X6 xDrive 4-liter iM Sport.
Yep, and that cost about 730,000 ringgit. Still a lot of money.
And you know, that's perfect for me. I'm a family man, so that's perfect for me. 840 is perfect for you. But this car at 730,000 competes directly with the Mercedes GLE Coupe, the Audi Q8, which are all priced about the same, and also a car which is coming very soon, not yet, the Porsche Cayenne Coupe.
Yes. Do we have any rumors about that coming here yet?
Not yet, but it's definitely coming because, you know, Porsche, they do so well in Malaysia. Economic crisis or not, they will still do well.
Mm-hmm. So this BMW X6 that they bring here is also a CBU model, am I right?
Correct.
And it comes with a whole bunch of packages as well, which, you know, kind of reflects the high pricing as well. So you get those laser lights, you get the M-Sport package, adaptive suspension, sport seats, 14 speakers, heads-up display, the full shebang of safety kit, and a panoramic sunroof. But also, here's something probably controversial. They are including this illuminated grille. You might have seen these pictures online where at night, the grills of the BMW, the kidney grills of the BMW will light up. I don't know if that's necessary or unnecessary, but I don't think it's something that should stay in the car industry.
Well, I think, you know, if you're like a gangster and you're chasing a person that you want to kill, you want that person to be able to see who's coming in the rearview mirror. You know?
Yeah. Well,
so it makes a lot of sense for the buyer demographic.
I guess so.
So we had these two BMWs, and the third surprising news. Well, Lotus is back in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Yes, and Lotus is back in Malaysia with a private importer, not with Geely. Geely owns Lotus completely, but they have not decided to bring it back to Malaysia. So a private importer has gone and taken the franchise and the franchise AP from Miti, and they are officially going to be selling Lotus in Malaysia with full after sales, full warranty. Now, here's the best part.
Yeah.
The first car to come in is already in the port, ready to be delivered to their showroom. It's happening this week. It's the Lotus Exige Sport 410. 0 to 100 in 3.3 seconds. This car is amazing. I have to use the word amazing. It is not a brand new Lotus, but it's a Lotus being built under Geely supervision. So a lot of things have been improvised, as you say. If you go to the dealership, all the details are on dsf.my. If you go to the dealership website, you can communicate with them. They're based in Bukit Jelutong. If you have the money, you can also order the Lotus Evija.
Evija, that's the big hypercar, isn't it?
Yes. Now, according to them, no one in Malaysia has ordered the car yet, but you can make the order through them.
Well, there you go. If you do have something like, what was it, a million, 1.5 million pounds to buy Evija, yeah. Or something like maybe 500,000 or 600,000 probably to buy the Exige 410. Yeah. That is good news, actually. But moving on to our next segment, which is the used car buying guide. Today we have the Suzuki Grand Vitara, which is a kind of a regular car, which is refreshing to what we're bringing to the used car reviews.
Yes, you see, if I'm not mistaken, last week we spoke about a sports car, which is the Peugeot RCZ.
Yeah.
And that's for a different demographic of buyer.
A midlife crisis.
Yeah, a midlife crisis, someone, you know, just taking in their EPF money, I think. But, you know, for this week, I thought, let's look at something very practical. Also, looking at our current economic situation, a lot of people will not be able to buy a new car.
Yeah.
But there'll be some people out there who need a car. Or maybe need a different car. Maybe their car is now 15, 20 years and giving a lot of problems. Or maybe they're coming into the work market. They need a car to travel.
I'd say like maybe people for my age as well. You know, they are moving up from their Myvis, moving up from their college cars. And they want something that they can grow into or raise a family with as well.
It's also, you know, with current families. Like when I thought about this car, I actually thought about a current family I know who have a very nice Myvi. Five people in the family using a Myvi. There's nothing wrong with it. But of course, as the children get older, they need more space.
Yep.
Now, the Myvi is a spacious car, but it's not spacious enough. And then also, you know, with people no longer traveling overseas, chuti chuti Malaysia is going to become a big thing.
Yeah,
so you need a little bit of boot space, you know?
Yep. And this Suzuki Grand Vitara that we're talking about is specifically the third generation one. So this is the 2005 to 2015 model year, I believe. It's the big brute one with quite a commanding driving presence with it as well.
And if you remember correctly, this car had a clamshell bonnet.
Yes.
You know, which is very unusual for cars at that time. But, you know, normally you see it only in sports cars, but they put it actually in an SUV.
So just a little bit of background on the Vitara. The Vitara, you know, started out life in 1988 as a compact SUV, as the Suzuki Jimny's more comfortable but less capable sibling. So the first gen is still very, very popular amongst off-roading enthusiasts, actually, because it costs about 10,000 ringgit right now on the used car market, and you can modify it with everything.
Yeah, and it's cheaper to buy than a second-hand Jimny.
Yes, definitely. The Jimny's sort of become its own legend, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a cult car. Its price is not cheap. But, you know, it's good for owners of the Vitara because now they can get it really cheap. But we're not looking at the first generation Vitara, are we?
We're looking at the third generation, as I mentioned, 2005 to 2015. And it's kind of a compact SUV, I guess.
Don't talk about the exterior size, but if you think about the interior size, it's actually about the same size as the Mazda CX-5.
Yeah, that's true.
So its size is just nice for a family of five, decent boot space. And when this car was launched in 2005, the asking price was 139,888.
That's quite a comparable price to a Mazda CX-5 today, isn't it?
Exactly. But it was, at that time, a premium compact SUV simply because there was not, the Mazda wasn't around, the Toyota RAV4 wasn't around, the Hyundai Tucson wasn't very popular, the Kia Sportage wasn't very popular at that time. So the Grand Vitara came at the right time. It had a 2-litre twin cam engine, 16 valve, it had 140 brake horsepower and about 183 newton meters of torque.
Yeah.
It had a proper four-wheel drive system.
The four-wheel drive system, I don't think we got that one though.
We did.
Because, I mean, my sister's car is a front-wheel drive one.
Well, they sold both versions. You could buy a four-wheel drive.
Oh, right.
Buy a two-wheel drive.
That fixes it then. But, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so the car, you know, even in that time, it came with airbag, ABS, EBD. So it had a lot of safety features for its time. It was a very high-spec car.
Yeah.
So now you think about it. Today, the car that started its price at 139,000, it is selling for less. Then you guess how much?
Conservatively, I would say less than 40.
Okay. It is about 20,000 ringgit.
That's pretty good.
Now, 20,000 ringgit, if you think about it, you're getting a four-door SUV with four-wheel drive. Okay, just assuming that you take the two-wheel drive, it's a couple of thousand less. But more importantly, it's a full-spec car. It's probably well looked after because all the units that you see online are normally owned by families or, you know, women drivers who, or even housewives. So no one has actually taken this car off-road or done anything ridiculous with it. And if you look at the interior of this car, even after 15 years, it's held up really, really well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the quality of the materials seem to have stood the test of time. If I'm going into my sister's car right now, which is a Grand Vitara as well, everything functions. There's a little pixel onboard computer that shows your consumption and everything. That hasn't blown out at all. That's, you know, it's a quality, strong piece of equipment inside there.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Multifunction steering wheel.
Yep.
Inbuilt entertainment unit.
Yep.
So you got all this.
Six CD changer, sorry.
Yes. And then keyless ignition.
Yep.
The only thing is, which a lot of people were complaining later on, was the four-speed auto gearbox.
Yeah, that was one of the complaints I had, you know, the four-speed automatic gearbox. It had very low gearing in the first gear, which means that it accelerated really fast, but it never got anywhere, to be honest.
So basically, when you're on the highway and you're cruising at 110, if you go up to 130 and 140, if you want to break the speed limit and go to 130, 140, you'll be basically revving a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think you would be traveling at about 3,000, 3,500 RPM, which just burns fuel.
Okay, so now you must understand something. This car came out in Malaysia in 2005. It was probably, you know, conceptualized and produced in Japan 2-3 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, this was the latest technology.
Yep, that is true.
And now you fast forward to 15 years and think about it. 15 years later, a four-speed gearbox, is it giving you problems? No. Is it working reliably? Yes. Do you actually need to go above 110 and get a summons? No. So if you add all that together, this is a very decent used family vehicle for the city.
So you said that this Vitara currently in the market would cost about 20 grand to 30 grand, right?
Well, we went through the classifieds and we saw cars as low as 18,000. We saw cars as high as 25,000, give and take about, you know, 2005 to 2008.
With that price, you know, it's especially if you're looking for an SUV that's relatively modern and hasn't aged that badly and is super reliable. I mean, there isn't many cars to look at because I was also looking at the cars around this price range, and there was a Mitsubishi ASX, which is about 33,000, and that is way too small compared to this car, right?
Correct.
And then there's the maybe 2005-2004 Honda CR-V or a 2010 CR-V, which still cost about 10-15 grand more than this. The
correct.
Toyota Rush, I don't think should even be discussed because it's
not as refined as this.
Not as refined at all compared to this. And then there's the Ford EcoSport, which doesn't have a good reputation for being reliable. So, you know, this seems to be the only option that works if you're looking for a car like this.
And the thing is, you see, if you actually find one, chances are when you get into the car, you won't find cracked plastics, you won't find smushed up numbering on all the functions.
Yeah.
You'll not find a worn out gear shifter or door handle or even a steering wheel. You know, normally cars of this age, the interior will show some wear on it. You know, the Suzuki's of this era basically held their ground very well in terms of interior cabin quality.
Yeah. I mean, looking at my sister's car right now, there is nothing inside that's wrong with it.
I'm sure the roof lining is not sagging.
No.
No creaks and groans.
The only problem that we've had maybe is when we had to replace the 6 CD changer to put a 2-DIN unit, and the button on the steering wheel didn't function. But that was just because it wasn't plugged in properly. So to be honest, other than a few plastics losing its paint, just right around the edges, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And it's been known in our family as the workhorse because it never breaks down.
Right. That's a good point. Never breaks down. And you know, one thing I want to add, modern SUVs do not have a rear spare tire at the back.
Yes.
This has. So this still carries that SUV look. I mean, for me, if it's an SUV, I want to see the spare tire at the back.
An SUV should look like an SUV, right?
Yes, and then you have the nice bold word Suzuki right across it, you know?
Yeah. I want to mention the good things about this car when I was driving it out around a lot. Like Daniel said, it is huge. This car, you have split folding rear seats as well. And when I was studying in uni over here as well, I used this car to take my desks and everything from university to bring it back home. It was, you know, it was big enough to fit everything I had. But to me, if I had to own a second car, this car would be that second car because, you know, it's got a nice ride height. You don't actually climb into it.
You're more like you slide into it.
Yeah, you slide into it. You don't sit into it, you slide into it. I mean, it's got decent steering. It's much better steering than a lot of other SUVs, small SUVs that I've driven. The pickup around town, even though, you know, on highway, it might drink a little bit of fuel, but the pickup around town is great. And the best part, it looks, like Daniel said, it looks like an SUV. Nobody will bully you in this car.
And even after 15 years, it doesn't look aged.
Yeah. That's true. I want to just pivot to probably some of the complaints that I have about this car. Maybe perhaps that you as the audience can relate to. Number one, we've mentioned it a lot, is the underpoweredness of the engine and the fact that the drivetrain needs a fifth gear and probably needs a little bit more power, which consequently means that the fuel consumption isn't great. I can definitely say that. One full tank is about 45 to 50 liters and you get about 400 kilometers per tank, filling up to about 12 liters per 100 kilometers. So it's not too bad, actually, you know, the fuel consumption.
Yep.
Do you have anything else to add about this wonderful car that everybody should go out and get? Because I really do believe that this is the best deal used car market now.
I just have this to say. If your sister ever wants to sell it, give me a call.
Well, it'll be a while before that because we do really like this car. But just to round everything off, I do want to reiterate that this car is a workhorse and there aren't many cars of this age, especially during the 2007 times because of electronics and everything. There aren't many cars where you can say you can rely on it.
Exactly. And, you know, for less than 20,000 ringgit, you're getting all this and you don't have to worry about maintenance and spare parts and all that because it's easily available.
What sort of mileage can we expect on this car, just to round off?
The ones that I saw online were looking at about 150 to 200,000 kilometers run in already, which is about average of 10 to 12,000 a year.
Hence, workhorse. Yeah. That will be all for our show today. Of course, we were talking about the fantastic Suzuki Grand Vitara and how great of a deal that is today, especially if you're looking for a big car that can do almost everything, or perhaps everything. Daniel, do you have any last words to add about this car?
Nope, I think that's about it. And, you know, if you're looking for one, go on the online classified, take your time. There are plenty for sale. Don't rush into it. When you go and test drive, you can easily walk away if you're not happy with the test drive. If you think there's, you know, a little bit of noise coming from the engine, there's a bit of whine from the gearbox, if you just feel that the car is not right for you, just walk away because there are enough in the used car market for you to shop around.
Thanks, Daniel. This has been Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. As usual, if you would like to visit Daniel's website, that's dsf.my. We are on Instagram at BFM Cruise Control. And my name is Arif Roos. This has been Cruise Control for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.